This morning, book of Proverbs, and if you will turn with me in God's holy word to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And then over in Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the porters, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. And then down in verse 32 of Proverbs chapter 8. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here, and to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. O Lord God, as we come this day, we beg, Lord Jesus, that you would bless us with your sweet Holy Spirit, that, Lord, we would have hearts that are soft toward you, and that, Lord Jesus, you would come and preach the gospel of hope, the gospel of life, the gospel from your mouth, the gospel that you have recorded in your word, the Holy Bible. And Lord, you would deliver us from the path that leads to death and destruction and eternal hell. And you would claim us for your own, Lord Jesus, and join us to yourself to have simple, childlike faith, to trust in you, and to have forgiveness of our sins and life. Lord, come now and open your word to us. Revive our hearts this day, we who have tasted of your kindness in the past. And Lord, if there be any in this place who are apart from you, Lord, speak to them. Open their eyes and draw them unto yourself, Lord, that they might have life and forgiveness and peace and joy in you, Lord Jesus, the only Savior. In Christ we pray. Amen. Two paths, two destinations. The book of Proverbs puts forth for us this amazing contrast between these two paths and these two destinations. And Solomon, at the beginning of this collection of Proverbs, many of them his own sayings and some sayings that he gathered from others, the purpose of this book is that we might have wisdom, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is wisdom, and follow him. And Solomon, at the beginning of this portion of Holy Scripture, identifies himself as the human author. And it is not just a theoretical matter that Solomon is talking about, but Solomon is pouring out his heart in the book of Proverbs, pleading with his son. And so the Lord has brought us to this portion of Scripture. And I am pleading with you in the name of the Lord Jesus to see these two paths and these two destinations so that you will either keep holding on to Jesus, or if you don't have Jesus, you will run to him this day and embrace him so that you may have life. We see God's wisdom personified in Proverbs chapter 8. God presents his wisdom as a woman who is calling, who appears in a city, a busy, bustling city scenario, and she's calling to the passerbys to come to her and to follow her and eat what she has to offer. She presents herself here in Proverbs 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. And so here's the woman, God's wisdom, who is saying, come to me. She's enticing people to come to her. And what is it that she would offer? Well, she offers life. She offers forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. She offers the paths of righteousness, the paths that are the good paths, the paths that are amazing. We see in verse 6 here, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. And so God has revealed himself in Holy Scripture. How do we know who God is? Where would we turn our ear to hear the living God? It is Holy Scripture. And so God's wisdom calls. And the whole Bible is all about the message of Jesus, the great man of God. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man who was redeemed by the grace of God. His name was Martin Luther, and he lived back in the 1500s. And he said that one verse in the Gospel of John he referred to as the Bible in miniature. He said, this one verse, I think of it as the Bible all shrunk down. And what was that one verse that Martin Luther said was the Bible in miniature? It was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this is what God's wisdom, this is what she offers this day. And the Lord impresses upon us that his words are faithful and true and right and good. And so, verse 10, God's wisdom personified said, take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. And so of all the things that we could think of that would be treasure to us, indeed, Jesus and his word for the person who has tasted the kindness of the Lord, that is our pearl of great price. You remember over in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13, Jesus says, to what shall I compare the kingdom of heaven? It's like a pearl merchant seeking fine pearls. And he had spent his whole life dealing with pearls, and he had in his mind what the pearl of pearls would look like. And sure enough, one day he's there in the pearl market, and he sees it, and he goes, now this is what I've been waiting for. And he goes home, and he sells everything that he possesses so that he can go back to the market and purchase the pearl that is priceless to him. The pearl of pearls. And Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. When the kingdom of heaven comes and breaks into a man or a woman's heart, we become wise. And we see that Jesus is the pearl of pearls. And that everything else is worthless and meaningless compared to having Jesus. God's wisdom personified goes on in Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. And so, if we have the pearl of great price, we grow to love what he loves, and we grow to hate what he hates. because His love has captured us. His love has conquered us. You know, when you come to love somebody, it's an amazing thing when a young man or a young woman loves somebody, because your heart is drawn to them. And you want to find out all that you can about them. And if they love particular foods when you go out to eat, you don't order that for this young lady. You know, if you know she hates a particular food, you wouldn't order that to serve her unless you just really, you know, were being wicked. You know, you would order her what she likes. Well, when a person comes to know Jesus, we want to find out what He loves. And what He loves, we love. What He dislikes, we dislike. Because He loves us. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil. Perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. You see, the person who has the pearl of great price, many times we find ourselves going, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? I don't know what to do. But you see, the person who has the pearl of great price, he always knows what to do. He has wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. He knows everything. Have you ever found yourself in a situation and you go, now I'm sure this is the right thing to do. And then after you go down the road a little ways, you go, uh-oh. You know, I didn't think about this or this or this or this. I didn't know this was going to happen. Well, Jesus, he's never in that situation. He never finds himself halfway down the road and he goes, wow, sure didn't see this one coming. Now what? No, the person who has the pearl of great price. Oh, what a blessing, what a joy to have such a Savior. He goes on, I have strength. Not only does the Lord Jesus know what to do, but He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. You see, if you have a wise ruler, they're going to be ruling according to King Jesus and what He says is right. And if they don't rule that way, well, their rule is going to be cut short. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness and the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work. The first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped. Before the hills, I was brought forth. Before He had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. When He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him like a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And so here, wisdom personified says, God's wisdom says, look, when you look at the world and how God has designed just the natural order, the moon, the stars, by the way, You don't have to worry about the world ending by the computations of somebody who has come up with a bunch of just fanciful mathematical calculations that it's going to end this Saturday. Jesus is going to come at his appointed time, and he says, no man knows the day or the hour. But God has wisdom. And we would be wise if we would run to Jesus and say, you who know all things, you designed the universe. You designed the human body. You know, if you want to do something fascinating, we have a very, very gifted medical doctor in our congregation. And if you want to do something fascinating, just ask him a question like, describe to me how the human eye works. Or describe to me how the human elbow works. Okay? And it is fascinating how God, in his wisdom, has designed the human body. It's fascinating. It's amazing. It's awe-inspiring to think about God's wisdom and how he's put everything together. Now, of course, there's a problem, isn't there? Because this amazing world that God has created has been marred. It's been spoiled. And God tells us in his word why. It's been spoiled because of Adam and Eve's rebellion against Almighty God. But the whole message of the Bible is that God has given his Son in the fullness of time to be the Savior. And so in verse 32, God's wisdom personified says, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. The happy man, the happy woman, the happy boy, the happy girl. If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, you have to have Jesus. The Jesus of Holy Scripture, the Jesus who really walked on this earth. Not just any Jesus will do. There's only one real Jesus, and that's the Jesus who reveals himself in Holy Scripture. And he invites us this day to listen to him, to run to him, to follow him, to walk in his paths, to trust and obey. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Blessed. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? Then you have to listen to Jesus. You have to watch daily before his throne of glory, before his gate. You have to wait beside his door. That's where you camp out. That's where you hang out. Are you hanging out with Jesus? Is that who you think about? Is that who you talk to? Is that who you yearn to honor and to walk with? When you get up in the morning, as you're eating, as you enjoy seeing the beauty of creation, as you eat food, as you have joy interacting with the people around you, as you face difficulties, is it your desire to wait, to watch, to listen, to follow Jesus, the happy man, the happy woman, the happy boy, the happy girl? That's what Jesus says. God's wisdom personified, this one who is put forth as a woman enticing people to come. God's wisdom says, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. You want God to smile upon you? You want his blessing? Then you'll be looking to Jesus. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. And that's true for individuals, it's true for families, it's true for congregations, it's true for a community, it's true for institutions in a culture, it's true for whole nations. You want to have good things? Then you have to have Jesus and his standard of right and wrong revealed in Holy Scripture. And whoever would turn their back on Jesus and his standard and his paths and the way he says life ought to be ordered and lived, revealed in Holy Scripture, whoever turns their back on that, you are injuring yourself. And this startling statement at the end, two paths, two destinations, all who hate me, says God's wisdom, are in love with death. And death is not a pretty thing. You remember over in the Gospel of Mark, there was a man who was possessed with demons. And just turn there with me in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Now, Satan is a liar. Satan lies. But here is what it looks like when the mask is pulled back and you see what somebody who is in the control of Satan, here's what the ultimate expression of that leads to. And Satan rarely wants people to see the end of the line. But here we see a man who was so given. He had given himself to evil. And these demons had said, sure, thank you for inviting us in. And they had taken up residence in the heart of this pitiful man. And he was, what was his condition? Look at Mark chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Where'd this guy live? In the tombs. In the tombs. A man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. All who don't listen to me. All who reject me do what? Injure themselves. And here's a man, and you can see the end of the line for this man in this life. And what's his condition? Is he happy? No, he's crying out. He's in torment because he's trying to live against his Creator. He thinks that he can be his own God. He can do his own thing and all will be well. And he has turned his back on the pearl of great price. And he has welcomed the prince of darkness and his legions into his life. Self-consciously. And now here is his condition. He's cutting himself. He's crying out in agony. Night and day. He can't even sleep. He's in such torment, he can't even sleep. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And where did he live? He lived in a tomb. You know, when you are walking, you know, on the road and you pass by a groundhog that's been hit and run over and it sits there for 4 or 5 days, don't you just love to stop when you're walking and go, oh, lovely smell. I just can't get enough of this. Oh, I want to take some of this home. And you go over to that old nasty carcass and you take your hand and you pick some of it up and stick it in your pocket, and all the way home you're going, "Ah, this is so good." No. You either walk as fast and around it and you go, "Man, I'm not even going to walk down that road until things get better." Well, that's where this man lived. The stench of death. He was used to it. What a pitiful condition this man had. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." You see, this demon said, "Why have you come, Jesus, to torment me?" And the Lord Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him, the demon, begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Well, what happened to this man? Well, there he was sitting in his right mind telling people about the glory of Jesus. And so that's what Solomon is pleading with his son. Solomon is pleading with his son. He says, "Listen, O son, be wise. Don't turn your back on the Lady Wisdom, on God's wisdom personified. Listen to her. Run to her. Embrace the pearl of great price. Embrace the Lord Jesus. Hold on to Him. Don't let go of Him. Don't listen to the woman folly." And so turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense," she says, "come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight." And so here again now we have these two paths and these two destinations contrasted. We saw it in Proverbs 8. He comes back to it again in Proverbs 9. And he describes now wisdom as having a banquet set. And she invites those who are simple, those who are fools, to come and feast with her and become wise and have life. And then Solomon contrasts this woman with another woman. Look down in verse 13. The woman folly is loud. There's another woman. And that is the woman of unbelief. That is the evil one. And all the realm of darkness personified. The woman folly is loud. There's another woman calling to people saying, "Come and follow me." She is seductive and knows nothing. She's rejected wisdom. She's rejected all that is true and good and right and beautiful. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense," she says, "stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Now, she puts herself forth here as somebody who says, you can be sexually immoral and it's fine. Stolen water is sweet. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know. The fool who would follow her, he does not know. He doesn't realize where he is. He's eating at a table too. He's listening to a woman. And what is this woman? It's the woman of unbelief. And where is he actually? He does not know that the dead are there. He's sitting at a table that has dead people around it. That her guests are in the depths of Sheol. What a picture. That's the destination. So a taste of heaven and heaven itself, if you have the pearl of great price, if you have Jesus, or death, chaos, destruction, if you turn your back on Jesus. Now, Solomon had personal experience. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11. You remember we looked over in the book of 1 Kings, talking about how Solomon had ended up becoming such a wise man. And I want us to look just briefly in closing at just a little glimpse of why Solomon is so concerned that his son, that the next generation would learn from him and be wise, would run to Jesus and embrace him. Look in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to his people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Amorites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifice to their gods. And you say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, that was the practice of the kings in those days, that if you were a king and you wanted to make a peace treaty with a neighboring king, what the king would do is he would take one of his daughters and give that daughter to the king as a bride, and he would seal the deal of a peace treaty with that king with marrying off one of his daughters. That's how Solomon ended up with 700 wives. You know? And he just followed along in this pagan, wicked practice of having more than one wife. God had made it very plain, and the Lord Jesus refers to that in Matthew chapter 19, that from the beginning, here was what God said the pattern was. One man for one woman, as long as they both shall live, joined together in marriage. That's what God says ought to be. In other words, you can't have more than one wife or one husband at a time. You know? That was the pattern. Solomon, the wisest man who had ever walked, he became what? He became a fool. Because he didn't listen to Jesus. He didn't walk in God's paths. And so here's what happened. He started building altars and places of worship for these false gods. Now, we're just going to talk about one of them. And it's referenced the very end of verse 7. He built a high place for Molech. Okay? And you go, well, you know, okay, so he built a high place. Well, do you know what people did when they worshiped Molech? Not too many years ago, there was an archaeologist digging out in the desert in the Middle East. And he uncovered a clay tablet. And he thought, huh, out here in the desert, in the sand, that's odd. And he kept digging, and he found that it was a tomb. It was a grave site. And he kept digging, and he realized he was in the middle of a graveyard. And there were all of these little clay tablets that were buried there at every grave. And then he realized a very stunning thing, that all of these graves were little bitty children. There were no adults buried in that graveyard. And as he began to work translating what was on these clay tablets, he realized that these were the obituaries of all these little people. And you know what all of these clay tablets recorded? All of these little children had been sacrificed alive, put to death as sacrifices for the false god Molech. And Solomon, King Solomon, built one of these places where that would take place, right there in Jerusalem. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, what I had planned to do at this point was us go over and look at several passages of Scripture in the book of Judges. And we don't have time to do that this morning. But there's a theme that runs through the book of Judges. You know what it is? There was no king in Israel because the people had rejected God as being their king. There was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. The people had turned their back on the pearl of great price, and they had determined they were going to be their own standard of right and wrong, and they were going to do their own thing. And when you read through the book of Judges, you know what you see over and over and over? You see the horror, the chaos, the turmoil, the sorrow, the destruction that came upon the people of God when they turned their back on the pearl of great price. And the very last glimpse that we have in the book of Judges is of a man who is so mixed up that he does unthinkable things. And there's a whole tribe of God's people, the Benjamites, who are defending and supporting sodomites and people who were just openly sexually immoral. What a nightmare. And you go, boy, I'm glad that's in the Old Testament. You know, whew, that'd be horrifying to think about a man taking his concubine and giving her to be abused by brutal men, and she dies, and then he cuts her up and sends pieces of her to all the tribes of Israel, saying, what are you going to do about this? That's how the book of Judges ends. What a nightmare. That's how sin always is. Sin is a nightmare. And that's what Solomon had had a taste of. Solomon had turned his back on the Lord Jesus and thought that he could entertain all of these different views and different ways of expressing your life and your beliefs, and everything would be great. But he wakes up and he says, emptiness of emptiness, all is empty apart from Jesus. And the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament is the personal testimony of this old man who was awakened by the grace of God and brought back to see, oh, I need Jesus Christ. I need Him more than I need the very breath that I draw. And he says at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, now listen, I want everybody to listen up. Don't be like me. Don't turn your back on Jesus. Because here's what you're going to have if you do. Emptiness. You're going to have nothing. You're going to have a pile of dust. That's all you're going to have with your life, a pile of dust. He says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Be wise. And then I was going to end by looking at the book of Romans in chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, because in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith in Jesus. And then he begins explaining why we need this good news so much. In verse 18 and following of Romans chapter 1, he says, let me show you what happens to individuals and to a culture that don't listen to the woman wisdom and they listen to the woman folly. And we're just going to read these verses. I'm not going to comment on them. I'm just going to read them. Okay? Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. You see, two paths, two destinations. A taste of either heaven or hell in this life, and either heaven for eternity if you love Jesus and follow Him in this life, that's what you're going to have, life. But if you turn your back on the pearl of great price, you will have a taste of hell. You won't have hell, but you'll have a taste of hell in this life. And for eternity, you will be separated from the presence of God. And so Solomon, he says, this is a big deal. Listen to me, my son. And so you young children who are here today, listen carefully to your mom and daddy as they teach you about Jesus. Listen carefully to those that are faithful teachers of the gospel. Listen carefully and make your life's motto. There's a little song that little children many times are taught. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. I had planned to sing it, but I don't want to alarm anybody. So you'll just have to be content with the words. Little ones, make that your motto for life. I'm going to stand on God's Word. I'm going to love Jesus and follow Him. And you young people, understand there are two women calling to you today. Young people, young adults, there are two women. And they say, come on over here. Come on. And who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? And Jesus sent me here today to read these verses of Scripture. And He is telling you the wise path is to listen to God's wisdom, to run to Jesus and to embrace Him and follow Him. Those of us who are older, we need to take advantage of all the opportunities we have to show and tell our children and our young people the sweetness, the goodness of Jesus. May the Lord grow us. May He polish the mirrors better. You know, that's all we are. We're just mirrors. We reflect the light. And many times I look back and it grieves my heart how I have obscured. I've reflected like a mirror that is distorted. Have you ever looked at yourself in a old mirror? You know, the old mirrors had all kinds of imperfections in them, and when you look in them, you know, that's what you look like. Well, we pray that God will polish us up so that we'll more clearly reflect the light of Jesus. So that the young people and the children who are watching, they won't be led astray. May God grow us. Oh, Jesus, what a sweet Savior He is. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the book of Proverbs. And Lord, we look forward to learning more about Your paths, Lord Jesus, in everyday life. And we pray, Father, that You would take the very word of Your mouth that we have read And then, Lord, whatever has been faithful according to your word, Lord, then write that upon our hearts as we have heard the explanation and instruction and application of these portions of Scripture. Lord God, give us a renewed heart to love you, Lord Jesus, and to understand that there are these two women, and we need to listen to your wisdom. We need you, Lord Jesus. Bless us now as we sing and as we conclude our worship in Jesus.